we were trying to find a Mother's Day song to sing, and the title of the song is Servant of All. Now, it has a lot deeper meaning, of course, but you know, I think us moms probably feel like we're servants of all the time. But anyways, well, we hope you enjoy this song.
If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Learn to be the servant of all. Learn to be the servant of all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. I can help my mom do the dishes and be a servant of all. Learn to be the servant of all. Learn to be the servant of all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. We're to be a servant of all.
I know the master of the wind. lives. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a bird shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portal. Child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Shelter with me, and not a bird shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Sheltered safe within the arms of
ladies, sheltered in the arms of God. I don't know if you saw that, but Ann's music fell off there as he was going. She didn't miss a note. Pam jumped right over there, got her page over there. They didn't miss a bit of it, so praise the Lord for that. Thank you so much, ladies. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I read of a mother who put her son to bed on the eve of his fifth birthday. She was trying to communicate that birthday idea to him. "Kevin," she said, "this is the last night of your fourth year. Do you understand that?" Kevin was ready to communicate with his hands. For a full year, he had shown people four fingers and for his 4 years, and now he was ready to add a thumb. Seeing his four fingers, his mother nodded and said, "When you go to sleep tonight, you'll still be 4 years old, but you know how old you'll be when you wake up in the morning?" Kevin nodded enthusiastically, had his four fingers up there, and he added a thumb to his four fingers, and he said, "Yes, tomorrow I'll be a handful." Well, all you mothers out there that have a handful right now, we want to encourage you today and praise the Lord for you. The book of Proverbs begins in verse 1 there, and he says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding," etc. there. In verse 1 there, he says there that it is the son of Israel's greatest king, King David. And Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, according as God gave him wisdom and said that he would be the wisest that has ever lived or ever would live, other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, obviously. Therefore, he was a great king, and he was the son of a great king. He was famous. He was powerful. He was supreme in all of the realm. People bowed in his presence and obeyed what he said. He had immense authority with all who came in honor. Yet even great kings should show respect and honor to their mothers. How did Solomon treat his mother? You remember who his mother was? Bathsheba. Bathsheba married David under some ugly circumstances. Yet we're told in 1 Kings 2 and verse 19, Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon, her son, to speak unto him about Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and he set it there on his right hand. Now we see several things there. Before they had their conversation, before she began to speak to them there, that he rose up, the king stood, he bowed before his mother, and then he had another throne brought, a seat to sit beside of his, and there on his right hand, which is a place of honor, he placed his mother. And so we see even a great king was to honor his mother. Y'all hear a little bit of feedback here on this? Ed, I don't know what we need to do on that, but I'm hearing a little bit myself. But anyway, we've been working on the sound system and trying to get some things, bugs worked out there, but I apologize. But right now, if you'll pay close attention right up here, Solomon wasn't perfect by any means, but God used him and guided him to write some very wise and true statements, of which we're going to look at in verses 7 through 9. So if you'll look down there to verses 7 through 9, and it gives us six lessons in these few little verses here, and all of them relating to God. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck." I want us to look at this here as we speak about mothers today and the importance of them, and see what it has to do about a mother's teaching. And that's what it talks about there. Forsake not the law of your mother. The law. She lays down the law, doesn't she? In those teachings that she gives there, we are to be ever obedient to there. We are to listen and to obey and to honor them, because God has placed you in the home situation and where you find yourself. And God knows exactly what that is. And sometimes it's some very difficult situations. Sometimes it's some very easy situations. But regardless, God says we are to honor our parents. We are to obey them, and that's our responsibility. So as we look at this, let's have prayer and let's get into our... I told you I wasn't going to be out early today. let's get into the message. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom of it. And Lord, I thank you for a day such as today that we can pause and we can think about specifically some things that impact us as families, and especially with our moms. And we praise you for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to see in verse 8 there that Solomon says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." There, I've entitled the message, "Do not forsake your mother's teachings." And with this, the first thing Solomon does there, he just takes for granted the idea, the understanding that there are mothers and there's fathers and there's children that are related in a relationship in a home. And it used to be America's taking for granted that as well, but not so much anymore. We don't find that very much. But families are God's idea. It's God's plan. It was God's way in which He designed there. He ordained that to be true at creation. In Genesis 1, 27 and 28, it says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Now, how were they to do this fruitful earth-filling responsibility? Well, in chapter 2 of Genesis, In verse 24, God says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." God instituted marriage, and He ordained that the family unit would spring out of that marriage relationship. And so there is God's design, there is God's intention. Sometimes God's ideal design is broken by a tragic death. And I know that there have been wives that have had to raise their children without a father because of death. There have been some in tragic divorce that has resulted in the same situation. And there's many that have to raise children in a single parent situation. And not only that, but sometimes even grandparents are given that responsibility and have to raise their grandchildren. And sometimes even that becomes in a single parent or single grandparent situation to have to be done. So we understand some very difficulties that are there and hardships. But God's original purpose was one man and one woman cleaving to each other and producing children to be raised as a family. The family idea is God's idea, God's design, and Solomon assumes that here in verse 8. Then we see that not only is family there, God's idea, but we see that family is actually a school. It's a basic school for instructing children how to live in this world. Verse 8 said, "My son, hear the instruction of the father and forsake not the law or the teachings of the mother there." The instructions and the teachings there are that as a family, it means it's a school. It's where training is done. And God ordained the family not just to fill the earth, but to fill the earth with instructed, taught people. We have that responsibility as parents, and children must be taught from the very basic skills of things like walking and talking and eating to moral actions of courtesy and gratitude, respect, faith in Christ, etc. All of these things must be taught. If a mother and father seek help from others, for instance, a grandparent maybe to take the child part of the day and to keep while they have to be at work, and a grandparent is doing some of that responsibility of teaching, or a daycare, or even as you come to church and you have your children in our Sunday school and in our youth ministry, etc., whether they're in a Christian school or in a public school. All of those things are tools or accessories there that are used to help you teach your children. But get this and understand, it's still our responsibility as parents to teach our children. Just because we give them to the church, or we give them to the school, or we give them to the daycare, or we give them to the grandparent, or whatever, that is not relinquishing us of our responsibility. And with responsibility comes accountability. We're going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and give account for being a parent to our children. And part of that is going to be, and a large part of that is going to be in this teaching and instruction category. It is our responsibility as parents to be active in that. The family is God's basic school for instructing children on how to live in this world. Thirdly, in that school, there is a major theme that is to be established, and that unifying theme is the fear of the Lord. What the basic teaching is there, the beginning, the integrating theme that goes all through the teachings that we do with our children should be the fear of the Lord. It should be in our daily modeling unto them as we are, should be an example unto them. Our counseling, our explaining to them, our correcting of them, our disciplining them, etc. All of it should be tied to and integrated with the fear of the Lord. Family is not just a place where we learn to walk and to say please and thank you. And I hope that you're teaching your children at least that there. But it goes way beyond it there. And by the way, it's not just teaching them how to tie their shoes and to read a book and to look both ways before they cross the street. Do you even allow kids to cross streets anymore? I don't think you see too much of that. But to cut grass, to drive a car, to put on makeup, there are all kinds of things that can be taught with our children, etc. But that's not where it ends. That's not even where it should begin. It is the fear of the Lord there, a reverencing of God, standing in awe of Him, trusting Him. And parents, it's our responsibility to teach those things unto our children. So family is God's idea. It is a school, and it has a unifying theme of God, fear of the Lord. The responsibility of teaching, as we see there in verse 8, is for fathers and mothers. Both are mentioned there for us. It does not say that fathers are to instruct and mothers only change diapers. And it doesn't say their fathers work at the office all day and therefore when they come home they have no responsibility with the children. It doesn't say there that mothers who work full time turn their teaching responsibility over to caregivers and they're not really responsible for it. But what it does say is both share the responsibility. And as I said, with responsibility comes accountability that we have. Stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home wife, and mother has been talked about in negative regards for many years. Fortunately, over the last four or five, there have been a turnaround a little bit in the attitude of some of the things that we're seeing out there. And some of it is thanks to articles and letters such as this one that I'm about to read to you here. This one came to Ann Landers. It says, "I'm so tired of all those ignorant people who come up to my husband and ask him if his wife has a full-time job or if she's just a housewife. Here's my job description," she says. "I'm a wife, mother, friend, confidant, personal advisor, lover, referee, peacemaker, housekeeper, laundress, chauffeur, interior decorator, gardener, painter, wallpaperer, dog groomer, veterinarian, manicurist, barber, seamstress, appointment manager, financial planner, bookkeeper, money manager, personal secretary, teacher, disciplinarian, entertainer, nurse, psychoanalyst, public relations expert, dietitian and nutritionist, baker, chef, fashion coordinator, and letter writer for both sides of the family. I am also a travel agent, speech therapist, plumber, and auto maintenance and repair expert. From the studies done, it would cost more than $75,000 a year to replace me. I took time out of my busy day to write this letter, Ann, because there are still ignorant people who believe a housewife is nothing more than a babysitter who sits on her behind all day and looks at soap operas. And there are still people out there that have that mentality. And they don't realize how important a mother is and how difficult a day of a mother that is a genuine good mother is in the family. It takes all. A mother's job is never done. Moms, you are incredibly important. One great illustration of that in the New Testament is over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We have in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Timothy's mother and grandmother, great illustration that is given here. In chapter 1 in verse 5, Paul writes there, he says there, talking about Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," Timothy is talking about, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." And you couple that with over a page there or so to chapter 3, in verse 14 and 15, he tells Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Here we have Timothy's mother and grandmother. They pretty much had the responsibility because we're told in Scripture that Timothy's dad was a Greek. He was not a Jew. And not much is said about him, which may indicate that one, He probably did not know the Scriptures very well, if any. He may not even have been saved. And if you remember, from the day of Pentecost, when the church first started, until this takes place right here, how many years would have transpired? How long would Timothy's mother and grandmother have been saved? We're not talking about a long time. And Timothy may have been 15, 16, 17 at the most here when Paul first meets him. And so here for some years, they got saved early there in Paul's missionary journey. And they have been teaching Timothy and so forth. And they have been sharing to the extent that now Timothy is a young man, a young Christian, that has a good testimony even with other adult men that know him in the church that is there. And therefore, Paul picked up on that and invited him to come along with those missionary journeys and ended up having him as one of the pastors, young pastors, that would begin ministry there in the church of Ephesus. And so we have here so much that is given to us about that and their input that they made in their lives there. And Paul celebrated that spiritual heritage that Timothy had with his mother and with his grandmother. They did what his father either could not or would not do. But God's design is for both parents to be involved. Don't let it be said, men, that you would not or could not do what God intended. Matter of fact, let me ask you a question here. If Timothy's dad did not know the Scriptures, what's one thing obviously that he could not do? He couldn't teach it. Because finish this statement, you can't teach. I hope everybody's getting that kind of thought pattern down. You can't teach what you don't know. If you don't know what's in this book, how could you possibly impart it into your children's lives? Moms and dads, that's why it's so important that we know the Word of God ourselves. We have to learn it to be able to share it with our families there. It's the responsibility of both moms and dads as we come together. And then there's the children. Our responsibility is submissiveness. Notice in verse 8 again, back over there in Proverbs 1. In verse 8, there are two commands that are given. My son, hear is the first one, the instruction of your father, and forsake not. That's the other command that is there. Both of them deal with temptations of rebellion. The first one is when the child is at home, and the second one is when the child is away from home. The first one there is the temptation there not to listen. And he says there, listen, hear the instruction of your father. Listen when your parents teach you and are trying to instruct you, etc., that is there. Hear the instruction. And when you're away from home, there's the temptation to forsake that which you have learned, to turn away from it. And he says and warns there, forsake not the law of your mother, the teachings of your mother. And so it is important that we understand this, and God knew it, and he made it so important that he included it in the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20 and verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We're to honor them when they teach us by listening. We're to honor them what they teach us by observing it and not forsaking it. We're to honor our moms and our dads when they teach us and as they teach us that is there. In the New Testament, we have that given to us repeated. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment that was given with the promise, that they may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth, was the promise there in Exodus 20:12 in the Ten Commandments. So God has emphasized it to us, both given it in the Ten Commandments and emphasizing it there for us in the New Testament. We're to honor a father and a mother by listening with respect to them as they teach us. And we are to obey our parents. We're to forsake not that which and they have taught us. And that it is one with a promise that is given a reward. Look back over again to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 9. After he says to hear the instruction of the father and forsake not the teaching of your mother. Verse 9, for, and the word for there means because, here's the reason. They, and the word they refer back to those two commands there, listening with respect and not forsaking. They, if you do that, it shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. And some people say, I know it's a chain about my neck. That's not what it's talking about. But there are some of you that have chains around your neck this morning. They're called necklaces. You know, it is an ornamental. It's ornament to your head, chains to your neck there. In other words, it leads to attractiveness of life. If you will listen with respect to your parents to learn, and when you go out, not forsake what they have taught you, it will be an attractiveness about your life to other people.
Right.
Now, maybe not to some of the friends, let me put it in quotes there, friends that you have that's only interested in doing what they want to do, and as long as you'll hang around and do it also, you can be their friend. That's not the kind of people I'm talking about. But the people that's really ones that are quality that you would want to have as part of your relationship categories, they're the ones that are looking. And when they see that about you, they see quality that is there. They see something that's honorable that's there. They see something that they admire that is there. And so God says, if you want that admonition there, if you want the people to honor you, if you want people to respect you, then you listen as your parents teach. And when you go out away from them, don't you neglect to obey those things in which they have given. And it will be a reward unto you. And moms, as we said, being a mom is difficult. But it has its joys as well. There in Proverbs chapter 23, in verse 22, it says, hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not, and the word despise means to disregard, forsake not, same idea, thy mother when she is old. You know, she doesn't have to be just when you're living in the household for this to be true. Verse 25, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. There shall be joy, moms, over the children that do obey. They have listened and they obey. And when that takes place, there's great joy. John wrote in the New Testament, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Moms, that is such a joy when you see your children and they have listened and they are obeying. Children, our part, submission to that which we have learned. So remember, family is God's idea. It's a school where the unified theme is God. Teaching is the responsibility of both fathers and mothers. Submission is listening and obeying, that belongs to us children with the promise of reward. Children, do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Christian mom, hang in there when those hands are full with those handfuls. Maybe you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I'm actually kind of like Timothy's father. I don't know much of Scripture. I'm not even sure if I'm saved. Could I say something right now? Please don't miss this. today, if you feel that, if you're thinking that, God is tugging at your heart right now. And He's saying, that's what you need. You need the salvation that Jesus Christ offers. I haven't dealt with it today. But every one of us have come to a point that when we got saved, we had to come to a point that we realized that we were a sinner. We realized that the penalty of sin is death and hell for all eternity. And we realized that God loved us so much to send the Lord Jesus Christ to die in our place, that if we by faith would forsake our sin and turn unto Him, He would give us the forgiveness of our sins and restore unto us a relationship with Him by giving us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we could live in God's presence for all eternity in the future. That's the gift that God offers every person. So if you're here today and you're not sure of that, please, let's make sure of that before you leave today. Every head bow, please. God knows exactly where you are right now. He's had you to be a part of this service, this message to hear this morning with a particular purpose. Moms, I hope it's been an encouragement to you. Dads, I hope that we've been a challenge to stay there and to be with our wives, to be a father to our children with them, to help. For us children also, I pray that you would help us to realize our responsibility to listen with respect and to follow that teaching and not disregard it. Father, I also thank you for being a father unto us. I thank you for loving us enough to give your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on Calvary. What a sacrifice. That we could be made right with you. Lord, I pray that you would help anyone here today to make that choice before they leave. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.